Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon. This is your host, Mike Holt, on the Gotcha Radio Show, the show where we present news and information, and you'll sit there and go, oh, gotcha. With me in the studio today is Matt Poole, who is the secretary of AIMPOL. AIMPOL is a very interesting organisation that seeks to take advantage of the new Electoral Amendments Act, that has just been passed by Turnbull, and it's supposed to be about ending the micro and minor parties, as well as independent representatives. But as Matt points out, there are opportunities in the Act that we can make good use of if we adapt our strategies and tactics, working together to outnumber the duopoly parties and make the Senate a stronger house of review. So, Matt, before we go any further, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and history?
Yep, sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Matt Poole, founder and now secretary of AIMPOL. I do have a little bit of political experience. I volunteered and ran a booth for the Palmer United campaign in our local electorate here. That was my first introduction to really being involved in politics. And then January last year, I was actually a campaign manager for a candidate up in Maryborough electorate. So that was a very full-on after the snap election when Campbell Newman got booted, as he should have been, and very hard as well. So that was a great experience. And now I've sort of operating as a candidate's campaign manager again for this upcoming federal election. And last year I was, watching TV, I was watching TV, and there was ads by the unions, sort of supporting the labour movement. And I thought, well, why is there no association or group that's doing the same thing for the miners and independents? Obviously, miners and independents don't get the big money backing from unions or big business. So I thought I'd start an apolitical association that's all about taking votes away from the four major parties and giving them to whichever the miners and independents can take them.
So what is the meaning of AIMPOL?
AIMPOL is a bit of a merged acronym. It stands for Australian Independent and Minor Parties Association. Then, because it's a political entity, the shortened name, especially to make it easier to remember for the website address, aimpol.com. I've merged the two to make it AIMPOL, so it's the short nickname for the association.
How long has it been going, mate?
Well, we've only just started a few months ago. First off, we started as an unincorporated association, just a few people that are politically involved in different ways. And we're just incorporating now, just sent off the incorporation registration. So that'll make it its own legal entity. So it's not dependent on the people that are members of it. It's its own entity. I've designed it to be pretty much like a union for the minor parties and independents, or the same as RACQ is to motorists, or as CPA Association is to accountants. It's not to run candidates or promote particular candidates. It's just, like I said, just to end that duopoly.
Okay, so that means almost any party is welcome to join, is that correct?
Absolutely. There's only four, Liberal and Labor, and then their puppet parties, Nationals and the Greens. It's all right if you're a supporter of one of those, but as long as you're not a candidate or involved, like a campaign manager or volunteer with those parties, that's pretty much the only restriction on membership. Otherwise, parties can join and individual people can join as well.
Okay, now you got me involved in this and elected me as president. And so far, it's been a pretty easy job. But I suspect that further down the road, you're going to have a few tasks for me to do, aren't you?
Yep, that's absolutely right. I wanted to focus more on the technical running of the association. So, getting it registered, organising the memberships, that sort of thing. and I needed an overseer, which is the president's position, is basically to oversee the operation of the association, and then the day-to-day running. I'm sort of happy to do the day-to-day running, but I just wanted somebody else with integrity to be involved at that higher level. I didn't want the association to be all about me. It's not about me. I'm not a political expert. I do have experience, but it's about the people we can get involved, sharing their expertise and experience with each other for everyone's benefit.
Do you have many members yet?
Yeah, on the website, last time I looked, we've got 15 members. Haven't got any party memberships. Sorry, I'll run through the membership types for you in a minute, but it's more the people in those parties that are interested in seeking this help and advice. You know, any of the education programs we run, and then, you know, our big plan for this this election is the big advertising campaign. So it's mostly the people with varied skills is what I'm after at the moment.
Yeah, that sounds good, because our political system at the moment has led a lot of people to become very apathetic about politics. I was at dinner the other night and I started talking politics, and some guy pipes up and says, "Oh, no, not boring politics." And as I turned around to him and said, "You know, everything we do in life is political. All I'm doing is talking about politics that affect the whole nation, and we should be discussing this." And that's the problem. And I think AIMPOL is aimed at generating more political discourse. Is that correct?
Yeah, the campaign that we're going to be doing leading up to the election will be about that, generating that that feeling. But also, our goal, which we'll mostly concentrate on social media, is to capture that 25 to 30% of people that don't vote for the major parties because they're sick to death of the same rubbish one side or the other every election or two. See, as my mate Damien says, you know, it's the same circus with different clowns.
That's about it. Now, as far as the upcoming election goes, I believe you have a strategy which the voters will be able to use. But before we talk about that, we should take a break. I'm going to play a song, and when we come back, we'll talk some more.
Yep.
To dedicate this song to Malcolm Turnbull, it's a song by Bruce Springsteen, "Your Own Worst Enemy."
You can't sleep at night, you can't dream your dream. Your fingerprints on file, left clumsily at the scene. Your own worst enemy has come to town, your own worst enemy has come to town. Yesterday, your eyes and saw her
Welcome back to the Gotcha Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt. And I've got Matt Poole with me here from AIMPOL. Matt, we were talking before about the formation of AIMPOL. So you've got a strategy now to use the electoral law that Turnbull has just passed. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was about a month ago when it all hit the news, when it became a real threat that it was going to be passed. Everyone, you know, people were crying in their cornflakes and you know, quite upset about it and depressed about it. And I thought, well, I might actually have a look at what's in the bill that they're proposing. And when I was going through it, you know, there was all the little clauses to get rid of, as Malcolm Turnbull says, the troublesome Senate. Then I noticed there's quite a few clauses in there that nobody was talking about, especially the Liberals weren't talking about. And it was obvious to me that these clauses were put in there by the Liberals to protect them as a coalition, so they can still operate with the Nationals as a coalition. So I did a lot of study on it, read it line for line, found everything I could, and have come up with a strategy to use their own tools against them. Basically, you know, it's never going to be again as easy as it was in the days past, where it was all about numbers. It's more about marketing, branding, and marketing now. So what we're looking at, everyone's saying that, you know, all the minor parties and the independents, they have to all stick together. So there's a lot of talk about merging parties, which is not a bad thing, because you know, some of the micro parties are just not going to survive in any case. So they might as well contribute their members and their experience and expertise to one of the other minor parties to make them bigger. But with this strategy that I've come up with, we don't have to necessarily merge parties. Group voting is still valid. It's just that there's that the group voting ticket that was the secret deals done before that weren't really secret. You could look them up where the preferences were going on the website, but nobody did. So it was quite clandestine. So now parties can still run candidates as a group. And on the new ballot form, there's examples on aimpoll.com on the website there. On the new ballot form, if parties are running individually and they've only got, say, two candidates, anyone that votes for that party, that vote is then extinguished. It's totally wasted after those two candidates when the preferences are distributed. So one of the things you can do now under the new rules is parties can group together and build a longer column. So if you have three parties together with three candidates each, then you've got nine candidates that those preferences will run through before they're exhausted. And this way, the more parties that join together in the same grouping can actually outnumber the Coalition or Labor or Greens, just outnumber them by candidates so that the preferences are flowing further.
Well, let's see. Turnbull, try and get around that one then.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really want to put it out there until the bill had actually been passed. And now that it's passed, there's nothing they can do about it. You know, we've found their loopholes, and we're going to use their loopholes. But you know, there's nothing that they can do to close or change these loopholes now, because the bill has been passed after the third reading.
Yeah. You know, Turnbull's got a bit of a cheek. First of all, he steals the prime ministership. And now he's acting like a dictator. What do you think about this, before we go on to the actual tactics?
Yep. Well, you're absolutely right. You know, with all the crap that went on with the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd going chopping and changing back and forth, you know, one was like a taking an axe to the chook, and the other one was all showman and salesmanship with no substance. So. You know, a lot of people didn't like Tony Abbott. I've met Tony Abbott personally in the old days in the fire brigade in New South Wales, Rural Fire Service. Didn't particularly like him personally then, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't a strong leader at the time he was in. So now, like a lot of commentators have said, now we're in the situation where we've got a salesman with no substance. But then again, the alternative is Blinky Bill, that, you know, doesn't know what he's doing. All he can do is come up with, repeat three-word slogans that have been written for him. He's got nothing to offer himself.
Yeah, it looks like the major parties have actually shot themselves in the foot. And I don't know how you feel about the upcoming election, whether they'll get in or not, but I know a lot of people who are very upset with the state of affairs, and if we can give them an alternative, something that's viable, and I don't mean just one party, but a whole raft of parties that they can vote for and and know that their vote is going to mean something, I think we may actually upset the whole apple cart.
Well, that's right. We're, you know, it's going to be a long time. You know, Labor's just gone through a disintegration period. Liberals going through a disintegration period now. You know, it's still going to be 50 years before we get anyone forming government other than those two parties, I think. You know, some miracle might happen, and it might be this coming election.
Oh, God, I hope not.
But my gut feeling on what's going to happen this election, I do think they have shot themselves in the foot. I think there will be more in the long run. There will be more independents and minor party representatives in the Senate, and there will also be a couple more in the lower house as well. Because of these changes, they've generated such a huge protest vote. You know, you look on social media, you listen to any radio show, that's what people are talking about, is how disenfranchised the public are with these changes. Now, if you add that new protest vote on top of the 30% of people that just don't like the big parties anyway, you know, that's a huge opportunity to actually increase the amount of crossbenchers in the Senate particularly.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a very interesting election. Just before we go to the next break, is there anything else you'd like to talk about the strategy?
Besides the other big change that they've added, and this is where I was talking mentioned earlier about branding, rather than people looking for specific candidates' names, particularly in the Senate ballot, now they've introduced logos on the ballot form. So if you want to look at it, it's Liberal and Labor are like McDonald's and Hungry Jack's of the political world, you know, and there's a few little hamburger shops further down the street. Well, those hamburger shops, using this strategy that we're talking about, it gives them a uniform identity. So it makes it simpler for all those protest voters and anti-duopoly voters on the ballot form. It's going to be very easy for them to find who to vote for, to keep those votes away from going to Liberal and Labor. We've got a very simple, identifiable, very chunky logo, AIM logo, and that will be used by some of the parties alongside their own logo, because in the new rules, you can have up to two logos in any grouping at the top of the column. So you'll look for the party logo that you want to vote for. If you're not going to vote for a particular party, you look for that AIM logo, and that's the guide to say you're voting against the big parties.
All right. Well, let's take another break now. And when we come back, you can explain to us how this whole all works. But it sounds very exciting and very interesting. Each week, we read a verse or two from the Quran to examine what it says and understand why Islam is doing what it is doing today right around the world. This week, we're going to read the Quran, Surah 8, verses 59 and 60. And let not those who disbelieve suppose that they can outstrip Allah's purpose. Lo, they cannot escape. Make ready for them all thou canst of armed force and of horses tethered, that thereby ye may dismay the enemy of Allah and your enemy. And in the Quran, Surah 8, verse 65, it says, O Prophet, exhort the believers to fight. These verses show that Islam is a militant and violent ideology, dedicated to forcing people to convert to Islam. And if we do not convert, they will kill us. That is what is going on in the world today. And for all of those people out there who can't see this and can't understand this, listen to the verse. It's very clear. They will kill you if you do not convert to Islam. They tell us that there is no compulsion to convert, but the Quran itself says very clearly that they can kill us and they will kill us. So beware. Islam is the problem. This is the Gotcha Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt. And I'm talking today to Matt Poole from AIMPOL. And Matt's come up with a brilliant system to make the most maximum use of the new electoral laws to benefit the minor parties. And I bet that's something that Turnbull didn't expect. Matt, before we went to the break, you were talking about putting two logos above the line and then all the parties below that. And you said, how many parties can we have below the line?
There's no limit in the changes. It doesn't say how many candidates or how many parties can group together in one. It just talks about if candidates are endorsed by more than one party or in grouping. It doesn't put any limits on it at all.
Well, that certainly is interesting. It'll give some of the micro parties a very good leg up, won't it?
Yeah, well, that's right. And the other beauty of it is these parties don't have to 100% agree on their ideologies and their policies. If one party is just gets along well with another party because they've got some similar traits, then they can join together without actually merging those two parties and having to argue about whose policy is better.
Right. Well, as you know, Restore Australia is very much for citizens-initiated referendums, so I would hope that any grouping that we join would be all of a similar mind, because unless we get citizens-initiated referendums, we're just going to keep getting more of the same. But let's get back to this business of the voting itself. Mm-hmm. I know the listeners will want to know how this works. Now, you said that we can have two logos, one being AIMPOL and then another one being a party. Does it have to be AIMPOL?
No, it doesn't have to be. With the association, we're here to help everyone. We do want people to join as members. You do get extra benefits joining as members, but we're basically there to help all of the miners and independents. So you can use this same system without being a part of AIMPOL. The reason that clause was put in there is purely for the coalition, so that the Liberals and Nationals can be in one column, still preferencing each other. And they can have both of their logos. So they put a limit there. You can use up to, any grouping can use up to two logos.
You know, I've got to laugh because it sounds like a very short-sighted policy, because they really haven't thought this through, have they?
Well, they've thought about it a little bit, but only from their point of view. They had blinkers on. They were just on the mission to boot out the likes of Senator Ricky Muir and Glenn Lazarus and Jackie Lambie and so forth. That Malcolm Turnbull, again, says the troublesome Senate. Well, the only person that there was trouble for was him. Having them in the Senate made it a stronger House of Review, which is the whole point of having a Senate. They're not there to run the country. They're there to make sure that whoever's in government at the time is doing the right job.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Turnbull doesn't understand that. Obviously, his attitude as a dictator is coming through there as well.
But let's
get back to this business of the voting.
Yep.
We have two logos at the top. Let's say that AIMPOL and Restore Australia, just as an example.
Yep.
And we have, say, half a dozen parties below the line. I assume that those parties would then be in a specific order, and their preferences would flow down from that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. In the example that you gave, if you had three other parties, say with two candidates each, from the top of that column, if you mark just number above the line, then your first vote goes to the person at the top of that column. Your second preference is going to the second person, third person, and so on. So it flows down. The preferences flow down that column.
So the preferences actually flow. They actually flow upwards, because the lowest one comes down the bottom. And then they flow up.
That's right. Yeah. So it's numbered down.
Mm.
It's numbered down the column. But yes, the preferences once they're being distributed actually flow up the column.
Right. Now the big question, of course, is how do the parties decide who is at the top of the list and in what order?
Yep, that has come up a few times in emails and on Facebook. The point of AIMPOL is not to, replace any negotiations. We're happy to facilitate them, but those negotiations will still be up to the parties themselves. Pretty much the same way that they negotiate preferences, or exactly the same way they negotiate preferences for the how-to-vote cards for the lower house at the moment. So anyone I think everybody has at least once in their life had a look at somebody's how-to-vote card when you're walking into the polling booth. So in practice, that how to vote card now is actually printed on the Senate ballot form. It doesn't change that much, so it's up to the parties themselves to negotiate. They can have different priorities in different states is probably the most logical way to negotiate it.
All right, this is sounding very interesting and very encouraging too, because it's going to preserve our democracy. So basically, we can choose much the same as we've always done, above the line, or we select our candidates in order below the line. And if we choose above the line, then the preferences flow towards the top.
That's right.
From the bottom party up to the top party.
Yep.
If we vote below the line, we don't have to mark above the line. We just vote in order of preference below the line. Now, I'm looking at this paper that you brought me, Matt, and it says here, candidates can be endorsed by more than one party and use up to two logos. Can you explain that?
That's for the benefit of the coalition. So with the coalition's column, they'll have the logo of Nationals and the logo of Liberals. I nearly forgot it because I hate saying that word. Liberals as well. Now, the candidates, there'll be candidates from Nationals and candidates from Liberals. So both parties can endorse the one candidate so that they're in that they're in their column.
Okay, well, that all sounds pretty simple, actually, I hope that voters will understand this and start voting for the minor parties. Let's get behind AIMPOL and let's make sure that our vote actually counts for a change. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Matt some more about the ramifications of AIMPOL and the voting system. So let's go and have a listen to Mighty Mo.
Mighty Mo!
Here we are again, listeners, and after peeking through the tent door, I see that Foster is still alive too. With him are Wacky Zacky Mulla and Yucky Kababi, two of Mighty Mo's henchmen. This looks bad. As soon as Mighty Mo calls in his henchmen, you can almost bet that it's all over bar the decapitation. Let's listen in and see what they're talking about today.
Well, stone the bloody crows, mate. There's no need to get violent here, you blokes. Let go of me.
Oh, that's better.
Infidel, I will not tolerate any more of your abuse. I am Islam, and Islam is me. I am the perfect man. Not even porcine DNA in my chocolate can change that. I will merely fly up to heaven on my flying white horse, Al-Burak, and ask Allah to purge my blood of the pollution.
Ah, well, keep your turban on, mate. I was just pointing out the contradictions for you.
No, no.
This is ridiculous.
Who is that knocking on my tent?
G'day there, mate. It's me, Hannah. Hannah Rexic, Foster's wife. I've come to fetch him home.
You have a wife, Foskin?
Yeah, mate, of course I do.
Anna's been me best mate for years.
You gonna let her in or not?
Oh, yes, of course. Come in, my dear.
Ah! What is that?
Ah, fair bite of the raw prawn, mate. I know she looks a bit weather-beaten, but she's a real good sheeler. And I better warn you now, Mo, me old mate. You touch one hair on my head, and she'll go burkas.
Burkas? She's going to put on a burka?
No, you stupid idiot. She'll go off her head at you. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that around here, given your propensity for chopping heads off. Anyway, she'll go bananas, do a block, blow a stack, lose a marble, start and finish a blue with you.
Are you speaking in tongues, infidel?
No, mate. I'm speaking strine, the language we speak in Australia. All them things I said mean the same thing. She'll get angry. And if that happens, you, Wacky and Yucky here, it better not be around when she does. Hey, I've seen her demolish a whole football team and kick them all out beyond the black stump.
Oh, infidel, you are giving me a headache.
Geez, sorry, Mo. But if you think you've got a headache, you'd better be nice to us from now on, or Anna will just tear your head off. No niceties like a sword, mate. She'll just rip it off like this.
What did you just do? Wacky Zacky Muller, he's lost his head. You tore it clean off his shoulders.
Oh, crikey, mate. Sorry about that. If you think that was awful, don't upset Anorexic. She'll rip your arm off and stuff it up your rectum without a second thought. I know I get a bit excited at times and do stuff without thinking, but that's why you and me get along so well, isn't it, mate? We're so much alike.
Yes!
You are right, Foreskin. I do like to gratify my desires without thought for the consequences. But that's all right, because everyone is too afraid to say anything about it. I always get away with it. Not even the people of Mecca would stand against me, because they knew I was talking directly to Allah.
Oh, Jesus, sounds like a load of codswallop to me, Mo. What have you been smoking? Maybe you need to stop packing camel dung into your bong. It's affecting your brain.
Silence, infidel! I am the last prophet of God, Allah. I am the perfect man. I told you before. How dare you criticize me?
Oh, wow, listeners. It looks like Mighty Mo is losing it. Or maybe he's just finding it. Whatever it is, he's clearly out of his cotton-picking little brain. Isn't it funny how he went from a mild-mannered prophet in Medina to a raging sex fiend, crazy, murderous warlord and pedophile in Mecca? How far will he take it? Find out next week, and tune in for more adventures of...
Mighty Mo!
We're back again from Mighty Mo, and that Mighty Mo is a bit of a devil, isn't he? But we've certainly got him pegged, and he's not getting away with anything. And that's the problem for Islam, of course. They've come to Australia expecting that they can do the same rubbish that they've done for centuries, 1400 years, in fact. And they're now attacking Europe. But they've come to the wrong country in Australia. We Australians are not the same as the Europeans. We're not very polite. And the Muslims are used to walking over people who are much too polite to say, I say, that's not very kosher. Anyway, I've got Matt Poole in the studio with me, and we've been talking about ways to take advantage of the new minor party laws that Turnbull has just passed. And I think we've covered how it works. So let's work out how the tactics can work. Because I'm sure a lot of the minor parties, for instance, and the voters as well, are thinking, well, yeah, that all sounds very well, but how are we going to make it work? So, Matt, how do you suggest we do that?
Well, the actual tactics that we need to put in place for this system to work is we need to get the minor parties into their groups, whether it's one huge group or a few little groups, however they like to band together. So once they're in those groups, we need them to agree and register with register their group with the AEC. Then we need them to also register the AIM logo. So any party that's going to be the lead party in one of those voting groups, because they can register two logos, they register their own logo and the AIM logo, so that we can then use it on the ballot form. Another thing is those parties will have to endorse each other's candidates. That's just a technicality. It doesn't mean that you have to run their campaign or be out there actively promoting them. That's just for the benefit of the ballot form itself, so the preferences are going to flow to each other. The next big step and the main step that AIM poll will be taking the lead on is educating the public to look for the AIM logo and how to best use their vote to not go to the major parties, any of the four major parties.
Now, when you say look for the AIM logo, I assume you mean on the ballot form, right?
Yep, on the ballot form. Now, we're also intending to have generic anti-duopoly call flutes at polling places around the place. Another idea that one of the members has come up with is to also do our own how to vote cards. Now, we'll be sticking strictly to the Senate for that, because then there'll be one how to vote card for each Senate, which will basically be a replication of whatever grouping the parties decide to put on to make themselves on the ballot form. So that way people are getting another look of how they can use their vote more effectively on their way into the polling place.
Okay, and now you talk about educating the public. How are you going to do that?
Well, our biggest way, because it's the cheapest and most effective to engage people with, is through social media. So we'll be doing a lot of basic education, just getting people used to the idea that they can use their vote effectively. Their vote is not going to be preferenced to someone that they don't know it's going to. You don't want to be voting for your favourite party and end up that vote ending up going to Liberal or Labour or especially the Greens, the way they've carried on in recent months. It'll just be little advertising campaigns, much like your road safety campaigns. Those short ads that just give people a basic idea of what to look for.
Okay, this is going to take money. I hope we're going to find the funds for that. But how do you think the traditional media are going to react to this? Because I know that the media is very anti anything that the alternate political parties like One Nation and Restore Australia and all the other groups that are around. They don't like to publicise anything that we try and advertise about, especially when it comes to things like anti-mosque activity, etc. So do you think there's going to be a similar reaction from the media, or do you think that this is something that could go more mainstream?
No, I don't think there'll be much attraction to the commercial media for it to go mainstream. There's not only voters are leaving the major parties in floods, their financial supporters are leaving them as well. It's all four parties are losing sponsors and supporters, financial supporters. Every month there's a new one that's lost someone. So we're in the process of trying to capture those funders. Now, the commercial media, unless we have millions of dollars to spend, the AIMPOL itself has millions of dollars to spend, they're not going to pay as much attention. It's inherent to look after their own business. Their business is to sell ads and to sell those, get people to watch those ads. They need news, and so they select the news that's going to be most beneficial to their customers, which is the parties spending big dollars.
All right, so are we going to have to use guerrilla marketing, right?
Exactly right, yeah. A big guerrilla marketing campaign through social media is the best way. And the word of mouth, I mean, you know, everyone that's studied marketing, word of mouth is your most effective and most important marketing system, style. So, the word of mouth is already starting. People are talking about it left, right and centre. Unfortunately, when any new group starts up, there's always detractors to it, only because they don't know the facts. They hear a little bit and don't realise that, well, hold on a sec, someone's actually trying to do something for the good of everyone here. But the people that have just taken it on face value absolutely love the idea of supporting independent minor parties.
Okay, let's take a hypothetical here. If I go to the polling booth and I want to vote for a certain party that is not part of the AIMPOL group, but I also want to support AIMPOL, is there a way I can do that?
Absolutely. If you want your first preference vote to go to a party that's not a part of the group, number their box one above the line, and then any of the AIMPOL logoed columns, put 2, 3, 4, so on. You can do up to six boxes above the line. But, put your first favourite party with a number one, and then number the other AIMPOL boxes as you please, and that will help advance the cause of fighting the duopoly.
Let's say we have AIMPOL and Restore Australia, AIMPOL and another party, AIMPOL and another one. Can they be listed at the above the line as separate entities?
Yes, they can, yes. If you haven't managed to negotiate, your party hasn't managed to negotiate a grouping with another party, you can still run run just as your party with your own candidates below the line, but still you'll have that AIM poll logo next to yours so that people are putting those 1 to 6 numbers counting towards your party, yep.
Okay, I think that's just about it. It's actually very clear, very well thought out. I must congratulate you on that. You've done a fantastic job. And I'd just love to be a fly on the wall when Turnbull hears about this, because he is just going to be livid.
I hope so.
But you've all heard it, listeners. Please, from now on, get behind this idea with AIM poll, because I think this is our solution and our salvation if we are going to maintain our democracy and stop the dictatorship of the Turnbull government and stop the dictatorship of the three majors. Matt, I'd like to thank you for coming along today and helping us to understand how this is all going to work. Thank you very much, mate.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been great to just answer these questions in plain English rather than technical jargon that I've done so far. So, if anyone wants to find out more about the association, go to aimpol.com, aimpol.com, and we've got contact details there if you've got any specific questions.
Right, and if you want to make a phone call to me, my phone number is 0412-677-223, and I'm always available to talk. So, or you can email me at restoreaustralia@gmail.com or aimpol.
Email for Matt is ceo@aimpol.com.
There you go. Thank you all for listening. This is the Gotcha Radio Show. Until next time, stay safe, stay strong. Thank you all for listening.
This is the Gotcha Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off until next week. And Australia, beware. Islam is here. Islam intends to take over. Don't let them.